Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Dhanyavad. Question?
Yes, Maharaj. The first question. We are searching for the satisfaction of our heart, but even when we got it, why do we forget it so quickly? Why is our memory so short? How was it ever possible to forget even Krishna?
Well, says Krishna Bhulya Jeev, Krishna Bhulya Sejeev Anadi Bahir Mukh. And other places, similar things are said. Because that latent, dormant, it's in a dormant, latent position. It's not been fully expressed. So, in Mahaprabhu's teachings, Sanatana Goswami, saying, Jivesvarupai Krishnera Nityadas, Krishnera Tatasta Shakti Veda Ved Prakash. So, although Jiva has this potential, it's described as Tatasta Shakti, situated in the marginal position. Right? Margin means situated between two planes, and the margin is also an imaginary position. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives examples in Jivadharma as the tata on a riverbank. At what point there's a plane where water becomes earth, earth becomes water. It's a somewhat imaginary position, borderline, that implies situated between the two. So, Jiva has this potential, reality potential. Mukti arhat vanyata rupam svaropena vivastiti. When liberated from all negative influence, then the adaptability to be able to enter positive serving domain, where the heart's potential to render loving service can be expressed. So, also in the Bhagavatam it says, Bhayam ditiya binibeshi tatshat ipetasya biparyayo smriti. So, it's really forgetfulness of Krishna means forgetfulness of this potential, this prospect. Just like when someone is dreaming, they are forgetful of their actual life and they're thinking so many things, fearful of so many things. But when they awaken, there's one, in the early stage of awakening, they're somewhat conscious of the dream world and starting to become conscious of the real world, the non-dream world. There's an interim state until at last, once someone is fully conscious, they know instantly, instantaneously, who they are, what their name is, who their family is, all of this relationship connection comes flooding instantaneously. Whereas in the dream position, total forgetfulness is possible. They say, how can you become totally forgetful of your actual position? Well, we do it almost on a daily basis. So, And Bhaktivinoda Thakur reminds us in the Jiva Dharma that when we're confined, operating, navigating the world of time and space, if we hear something like the jivas came into existence at this point, or the spirits, this was generated, that was generated, we're applying mundane criteria. We say eternal servant of Krishna means that it's not a position to be achieved, but if we want a better word, might be discovered, in the sense of discovered underneath the layers of ego, intelligence, mind, and succession of gross bodies. There's the servitor identity, reality potential. So when someone becomes awake, then they will say, how could I forget you? That's, if we apply past, present, and future from our present perspective, we'll be misled and unable to comprehend this. We have to drop that. We're here in Loving Search for the Lost Servant. Guru Maharaj's quoting Brihad Bhagavatamritam, where we hear at the end of the day in Goloka Vrindavan, and Krishna's a Prakriti Leela, he's returning with the cows and the cowherd boys. And Gopakumar, who has just entered, he sees off in the distance all the dust that's raised from the cows' hooves. Makes like a dust cloud. Nothing can be seen clearly, but it's moving toward him. There's music. There's gradually some shapes start coming, then more clearly. And then we're told from a distance, he and Krishna see one another. And Krishna is very excited that this particular soul is returning to him. And he runs to him, and he and Gopakumar embrace. And we're told that Krishna faints. And when he comes out of his faint, he says to Gopakumar, how could you stay away for so long? Right? And he says, and when I knew, when you took birth, my anticipation became, I could hardly control myself, knowing that in this lifetime, at this time, you'd be coming to me. As Guru Maharaj said, continuing the dream example, he said, when you come out of the dream and you're interacting with everybody, he said, they might say something like, you were absent for some time? Just like sometimes one of our devotees goes somewhere, somebody say, you were absent for some time? You can say, absent for some time, like anadi, eternity. It's described that way within time and space. You know, nitya buddha, eternally conditioned. Anadi, from before time began. Because in the spiritual world, there's the eternal present. So it has to be described as anadi. It's a time before this began, the material universe, which we're told, bhutva, bhutva, praliyate, repeatedly. It's spring, like so many things we see in this world. It's expressed for some times, it goes through a cycle, and then it dissolves. And then again it's expressed, and then it dissolves. So how many times? For how long? But Srila Gurudev used to give the example that he said, it doesn't matter how long a room has been dark, that if you bring a light into it, it's illumined. It doesn't matter whether it was dark for a day, a year, 10 million years, 10 trillion years. When you bring the light in, it's illumined. So when someone, their swarup is discovered, expressed fully in Vastu City, when they enter into the eternal pastimes of the Lord, then there's no distinction between those who were once conditioned and those who were eternally conditioned. Srila Prabhupada, in his book called The Light of the Bhagavat, he gives an example of clouds in the sky. When the sky is cloudy, you can distinguish between the clouded portion and the unclouded portion. So, but when the clouds are removed, you can't distinguish between the part of the sky which was clouded and the part of the sky which was never clouded. It's something like that. And we could say, well, someone like Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he can discriminate. He can tell, these are Nitya Siddha Gopis and these came from this place. Yeah, he has some special insight, some special vision to make those kind of determinations. So, when we hear descriptions about the jiva, we have to catch the gist of what is being said. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes this point in the Jiva Dharma. It says, for example, if you make a comparison between milk and water, immediately you get some idea of like how they're similar. But if you start analyzing it to the extreme, you'll find so many ways in which they're different. They think if you hear some example, if Gorman says, so from a non-differentiated uniform sheet of uniform consciousness, you know, so many jiva souls are grow. The Brahma Jyoti is a living, growing thing. If we can catch the gist, if we try to analyze it to the extreme, we'll become bewildered, especially by applying measurement from the world of measurement. What we use to measure things here, we're going to take those units of measurement and try and measure the immeasurable by Vaikuntha world. It won't be helpful. So I said, Achintya kalo ye bhavas natangs tarkena yojayet. When it comes to dealing with things that are inconceivable, tark, argument, is invalid, useless. It's not useful. So how will we get information about this? Omni, revealed truth. What's coming from that plane through its agents, Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vaishnava, descending into this plane, we give our attention to that. And Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Namedaya Tamaisha Atma Tashyaisha Atma Vivrinute Tena Labhyas Tashyaisha Atma Vivrinute Tanum Swam. But still, you need Krishna's mercy, has to be there. He has to want to reveal something to you. It's not a question of intellect, research, extensive study of something, and then we'll grasp what it means. No, Krishna, his will has to be there. Some mercy. Prasada leshano grihita evahi. Like Gurudev was saying with regard to the famous sloka, Vikriditam Brajabadu Viridam Chavishnu Shradhanvatonu Shunayadatavarna Yedyag. that occurs in the Rasa Lila section of the Bhagavatam. Saying one should, that these, the pastimes of Krishna with the Braja Gopis are the cure for Hridrogam, heart disease of the Nityabhadha Jivas. But Gurudev said, yes, it is the cure, no doubt. He said, but just like in homeopathic medicine, which he studied, he made a lifelong study of. He said, it's not just that you can identify your medicine, but you have to know the potency, identify the proper potency, the dosage of that potency. And after he said so many things, he said, and he said, your time for healing must have come. He added that. So he's saying, it's not just enough to just say, oh, this is the cure for that. He said, but in what dosage? You know, I mean, what potency and how much dosage of that will be given? And it has to be that time, which that's what implies Krishna's mercy. Right? Krishna's will in the background, Dhamna Svena Sada, to reveal his divine abode, paraphernalia, pastimes, qualities, forms, holy name, everything. Krishna's will has to be in the background. So, Devi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Dharataya. Otherwise, impossible to surmount, to overcome. Why? Because Mama Maya, it's Maya works for me. Then, what are we left with? Mamevye prapadyante mayame tantra. But if you surrender to me, then mayame tarantite, then you can cross over. What was like an ocean, an insurmountable ocean of nescience or ignorance? I didn't say Bhavambudhir Vatsa Param 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 Padam Yadvipadam Natejam becomes reduced to the amount of water in the hoof print of a calf. So then we should say, how is that possible? How is it possible that what moments before was described as being oceanic and insurmountable becomes reduced to a drop? By a change of perspective. Sambandha gyan, sambandha abhideya prayoja, through how we see everything. If we begin to see shastra chakshu through the eyes of the scriptures, right? Saru shastra guru Vaishnava, then under their care, through the lens of their way of seeing, what was oceanic and insurmountability becomes reduced to the water and the hoofprint of a calf. What was very unfavorable, or Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he says something interesting in this regard. He's saying that, oh, if it's bathed, the cow, we worship cows, Govinda, and the cows, so if that water is like cow abhishek, then it's a good thing for the devotee. And the point he's making is, so this world and the way it's structured, Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimalabhadut Maharaj Ki Jai. The world, all the things that we're experiencing within the world that were unfavorable in a lower stage of devotion, right? Because we're talking about anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulya vivarjana, what we should do, not do. That it depends on your adhikar, what your position is. So Vishwanath is saying, the higher devotees, they see everything is favorable. That's Guru Maharaj's interpretation of, what is it? Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma. Pripavam, that sushamiksha, samiksha means to examine, but su samiksha means to scrutinize, to look more deeply. So I think what was unfavorable superficially, on a deeper examination, we say, oh, in fact, this is the grace of Krishna coming to me. To not to take me away from him, to make me forget him, but to adversity can make me take shelter of Krishna, like Kunti. Vipada. I don't know what that means in that language, but in Sanskrit it means danger. Maybe she's dangerous.
He actually proved to be quite dangerous. Yeah.
So vipada santu tak shashva tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yatsyad apunar bhavadarshanam. How exalted is Kunti Devi that she's thinking the adversity, opposition, and the adversity of the world makes me become very focused on Krishna and praying for his mercy. I become very, you know, meditative and thoughtful about Krishna. That I don't forget Krishna. When things are going wrong, I remember Krishna like constantly, incessantly, and deeply. So for me, I think that's a better position. She's taking it to the extreme. Told Jiva Goswami, saying that's why heavenly Swarga Loka is undesirable. Because in the presence of so much pleasure, the Nanda Kanana gardens, what does the Gita say? That famous loka, Te Tam Bhukva, Swarga Lokam, Divi Devi Bogan, Asnanti Dibyan Divi Devi Bogan. Anyway, they, after enjoying so much and forgetfulness of Krishna, then come down to this position. Human Jiva Goswami gives some references why human life is best. Is that Narada tells Vyas, Tasye vahetu prayateta kovido nalabhyate yad brahmatam upariyada. You're already set, karmically speaking, for a certain amount of pleasure and a certain amount of suffering. So don't waste your valuable energy trying to squeeze out a little more pleasure or minimize a little more suffering. But rather, try that you get, you know, up and down, north, south, east, and west in the universe. Better to spend your energy for what you don't get from there. What you get only in the association of sadhu, shastra, guru, Vaishnav. Then you can actually improve yourself. Right? And he's saying, and that is better, a little bit of that is better than lifetimes of anything else. So it's an advanced stage, actually, where a devotee, avismriti tach charanaravinde, where a devotee begins to lament, oh, for how long I have forgotten your lotus feet, and that I am your servitor. Prabhupada liked this prayers of King Kulishekar. Bhavantam evanucharandarantara. For so long I've forgotten you that I am your eternal servant. Nitya Kinkar, that I am your eternal servant. Bahar Sri Sami Sanata Jivita. So don't think of it in terms of past, present, and future, but rather from a position of awakening to what the actual situation is. Srila Saraswati Thakur says, the mind that we find so near and dear, saying, the mind is an evil guardian. It's trying to rob Jiva's the minor, like who hasn't achieved majority and is under the care of an evil guardian, the mind. That's why there are all these songs like E Mana Durmati Sangsara Vitare. That's why Guru Maharaj always make Gurudev start with that. Even after hearing this for so long, and we're shocked if we glimpse it for a moment. It means we're living with bad association. Our minds. Which we normally, even Radharani in her prayer says, Anyara Hridoyaman Mora. Normally, mind and, you know, heart are one. People think of them as inseparable. Not so Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Udared Atmana, and not only him, I mean, you know, Krishna. Udared Atmanatmanam, Atmanam Avasadiyat, Atmaiva, Atmano. Atmaeva hyatmano bandur atmaeva ripuratmana. Mind can be enemy or friend. So Guru Maharaj would say, Saraswati Thakur, that a confessional song of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the one that begins, Amara jivana sada pape rata. This, when you're saying, this is my life. And then he goes on to say, all these horrible pain, things that would be painful to candidly express and own, like the German literary word Schadenfreude, that's used in literature, that means when other people are suffering, that makes me happy. When they're happy, I'm envious, I find it upsetting, the good fortune of others. But when something unfortunate happens to them, that inside, I feel kind of good about that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says all these things. He knows how we think. Why did he write the song? He's not like that. He's paraduka duki, right? Kripam yak parad. You know, his only suffering is seeing our condition and forgetfulness of Krishna. So he's making these songs so that they'll resonate with, and we'll go like, well, that's how I feel. I feel like this song seems like it's describing me. Then we'll see where he goes with that song. And that particular song, after he describes all these kind of things, he says, now, at the end of my life, when I'm useless, my senses are not good for enjoying anymore, and I'm an old, practically unlit. At least now, can I surrender to you now? Is it too late for me? Anyway, all the what Guru Maharaj collected in Prapanna Jivanamritam and other places, you see how these great devotees are praying. And it's sincere. We don't think, oh, it's beautiful poetry. It happens to also be beautiful poetry, which is amazing. You know, Pratha Purudra, Maharaj saying, Mahaprabhu came to like liberate everybody in the Kali Yuga except a king named Pratha Purudra. Everybody else except me? I'm like, that's not fair. And what will another devotee say? Not only that, if the whole idea is saving fallen people, where are you going to find someone more fallen than me? You should test it on me. You know? And they're sincere about it. They're all looking for some way to be redeemed, to be a recipient of Krishna's mercy. And celebrating the good fortune of others. That, Rupa Goswami says, is symptomatic of pure devotion. And our Guru Varga, Gurudev especially, to see the wives of Kaliya, right? Naga Patnis, Kasyanu Bhavosya Chadeva Vidmahe Tavangirenu Sparishadikara Yadvanchana Sri Lalana Charatapo Vihaya Kaman Suchiram Vrita Vrita. And saying, how did our husband get what Lakshmi Devi couldn't get, he got. Before he got mercy from the lotus feet of Krishna, they, you know, wanted to divorce. I'm just saying that to make people smile. Why don't they had divorce in that time? Like divorce. We'll use the Indian way. Like divorce. But really, but then when they saw, after he's touched by the lotus feet of Krishna, and how, not just like, you know, the gentle massage, but the torture one. Krishna's dancing, all that Bharatanatyam dancing we've seen, where they're pounding the feet. I mean, really pounding their feet. Krishna's pounding the heads of Kaliya. Each time a head comes up, he's dancing. And there are rubies on Kaliya's head. Krishna, put it this way, he's pounding him so hard that the rubies are being pulverized, turned into powder, dust. That's hard. So it's breaking his head. He had something like 1,000 and 100 principal heads. And from all the ruby, and they're all with jewels, from all the ruby breaking, being pulverized, turned into dust and powder, it entered the Jamuna. So the Jamuna was like rose-colored water, very beautiful water. And he, what is he doing? He's vomiting poison. Because every time the lotus feet of Krishna pound him, another ego, like us. It's not enough, one. 1,000 expressions of false ego coming. It has to be beaten down one after the other. That song, Saraswati Thakur, Amara Jivana, that's the one Guru Maharaj said, when you get up in the morning, especially at that time, coming out of the tamogun, ignorance of sleep, saying, you know, beat your mind with a stick. And what? And Guru Maharaj, when Guru Maharaj said this, actually it's painful to hear. He's practically crying. And he said, what have I done? What did I? I just wasted another day. Lord, please let me do something today to serve you. Very sincere. So those wives, when they saw Kaliya, and they're seeing also the kumkum from the lotus feet of Krishna. Now, their husband, his heads are very dizzy from all the pounding. But they see the kumkum now. They say, oh, now our husband is a Vaishnava. Exalted Vaishnava. He got dust from the lotus feet of Krishna that Lakshmi Devi, after performing lifetimes of austerities in the Tapovan, she could not achieve, but he got that. Now they think he's very nice. They start offering prayers to Krishna, very beautiful prayers. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says that Kaliya, he's still like, you know, what's the word? Huh? Dazed. Right? But he's hearing his wife's prayers. So when it's his turn to offer prayers, like devotees do sometimes at Vyasa Puja, he starts saying what they said in the beginning. And then he, you know, gets a rhythm, a flow going and starts making his own prayer. And what is his ultimate prayer? Mention that, and this is a little hard to take, but when Akrura comes to take Krishna, Kaliya, first of all, Balaram, when he saw these pastimes, he said to Krishna, like, If you want to fight with a snake, Ananta, Ananta Shade, like I could really give you a fight. So why I don't, you know, this anyway, it's your pastimes. You know. But Kaliya, he wants to do some seva, because Krishna's saying, no, you have to leave this place. Kaliyahrad, that part of the Jamuna, not to be poisoned anymore and everything, and let every, you know, happy days are here again. But Kali is saying, if in the future you need a ride, I'm available. So the charges say, sometimes when Akrura comes to take, because it's Nitya Leela, those pastimes are going on eternally. Sometimes when Krishna comes to take, when Akrura comes to take Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan to Mathura, instead of the chariot, they ride on Kaliya. You know, like on the Jamuna. I'm saying that's a mixed thing. The gopis won't be too happy about it one way or the other. But the people that we worship, our Guru Varga, the Braja Gopis, they are unable to forget Krishna. As we are almost unable to think about Krishna, even for a moment. If we think about Krishna for a moment, we want to tell everybody. I was Krishna conscious today for around, 3 minutes. Want to put it on the internet. Write a letter to my guru. You'll be happy to know. Someone wrote a letter to Gurudev once, who was getting married on the weekend. He said, but he didn't say you'll be happy to know. He said, you'll be excited to know. You'll be excited to know I'm getting married this weekend. I said I wouldn't do it. Anyway, and Gurudev turned to me and goes, the excitement is in him, not in me. But anyway, who we worship, who we are aspiring servants, Gopi, Bartur, Padakamalayo, Dasa, Dasa, Nadasa, they're complaining in their divine loving anger, their man, that they're unable to forget Krishna. Because sometimes people advise them that. Just forget about him. Forget about him, stop talking about him. They go, we would if we could. And that's what they said. What happened to Lakshmi Devi? She's Puggle. She went crazy, most likely charmed by Krishna, listening to him. He's such sweet talking and everything. And then she lost her mind. And now she wants to always be with him. And how is she with him? As a mark on his chest. Right? Sometimes called, what? Sri Lekha? Sri Vatsa? Different ways described. Vishwanath says sometimes she comes off the chest and is personified. We shouldn't limit what's going on in the unlimited world. But still, the point is there. So, becoming aware of forgetfulness of Krishna, that is a good thing. Lamentation and Krishna consciousness is a good thing. Is the highest, one of the highest things. When Madhavendra Puri was leaving the world, he began this expressing what was pent up in him for a long time, venting this divine lamentation that's in that super sloka, i.e. Dina Dadranata He Maturnata Kadavalakshase. Misunderstood Real devotion is misunderstood by even the learned. Kobida Muhyanti Yatsuraya by so many. So this Ramachandrapuri, what was he doing? He said, hey, haven't you read the Gita? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Sochati Na Kangshati. What are you lamenting about? One who's on the Brahma Bhuta platform, Na Sochati, they have no hankering, lamentation, any such thing. What did Madhavendra just cursed? Get out of here, you sinful rascal. He could not fathom or understand that actually there's divine lamentation in Krishna consciousness. That what negative feelings are a good sign. When devotees lament their lack of Krishna consciousness, lament their forgetfulness of Krishna, lament their lack of qualification, lament their inability to serve, that converts into something of positive character. Not self-certification or being self-congratulatory. Just the opposite. Vanchitosmi, vanchitosmi, vanchitosmi na sangshaya. Vishwa gauravase magnam. Sparshopi mama nabhavat. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur is saying, I've been cheated, I've been cheated, I've been cheated. Of this there is no doubt. Mahaprabhu came, inundated the world with Krishna prema, and I wasn't touched by a drop. I'm so unfortunate. One group of devotees will say, oh, well then, there's no hope for us. That's not what Guru Maharaj says. Guru Maharaj says, oh, what do we learn from this? What appetite Prabodhananda has. What's oceanic for others is not a drop for him. That's how Guru Maharaj interprets that. He said, what is food for an ant won't feed an elephant. Elephantine appetite. So, why do the great devotees vent the depths of negative expression? Therein lies the key. That's the direction we're supposed to go in. Negative. Culture of negativity. That's humility. Hunger. Acknowledging that one doesn't have implies need or necessity. Search. When Prabhupada arrived in Vrindavan once, they had to go by taxi, and that some bridge bossy taxi driver, whatever, talking about their intimate relationship with Krishna and everything. And Prabhupada then gave a lecture, quoting Srinivas Acharya's Sad Goswami Ashtakam. Hey Radhe Braja Devi Ke Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kutaha. He said, they're searching for Krishna. Where is Radharani? Where is Krishna? Are they in Govardhan? Are they here? Where? I'm searching for them. He said, not like the taxi driver. He was saying, last night I was with Krishna. And the guy said, yeah, I was in the Rasa Downs last night, after my shift finished. I said, not like him. He said, the real devotees, they're searching. They don't say, I have. Never. Always saying, no. Radharani herself says that. Mahaprabhu says that. We should say something different? How foolish could we be if Mahaprabhu, Radharani, all the great devotees speak like that? It must be heartfelt expression. It's measured through inversion. That's how we know how much love they have for Krishna. Real love and affection for Krishna. That they see themselves in such low estimation. But I like what Prabhupada wrote in his Vyas Puja offering to Saraswati Thakur, maybe it was 1936 or something, where he said, although we've imperfectly realized this, we're convinced that this is the ultimate truth and highest expression of the ultimate reality. But I like the way he said that. Although imperfectly, he's saying, every sincere devotee can say that. Yeah, our realization, no doubt, very imperfect. But, as Guru Maharaj would say too, at least we're going in the right direction. Keep the association, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnava, then we're going in the right direction. By their grace, we'll get something substantial. And as the devotee prays in Ishvapanishad, my Lord, I may forget you, but please, you don't forget me. If there was anything good, don't forget it. Any other question?
Another question that when you share your heart with other devotees, you can feel there is something there. How does this exchange actually works? Can a heart become more sensitive in such a way?
Yeah, tene brahma hrida. Gurudev liked to say, heart. It's a heart-to-heart transaction. Rupa Goswami says, Dadati pradhigranati guhyam akyati prichchati bhungte bhujayate cheva sadvidhi bhakti lakshana. These are the transactions amongst devotees. They give things to one another. Guhyam akyati prichchati. They inquire from one another. They reveal their hearts to one another. We can say that means. That's what it means. Bhungte bhuj, and they take prasadam together. So that will increase love and affection, these type of dealings. That's why it was a great privilege for us to take prasadam with Srila Gurudev. And he is very, focused on that. Who would be there, and if somebody wasn't there, like in his book, keeping track. So, Sanatana Goswami reveals his heart to Jagadananda Pandit. I came here to be with Mahaprabhu for my own betterment. It looks like I'm getting the opposite result. I'm thinking to go back to Vrindavan. Jagadananda Pandit. I think that's a good idea. But Sanatana Goswami is superior to him. He's asking a junior devotee. This is how I feel. This is in my heart. What do you think? Because he's saying, well, he's with Mahaprabhu, so he's superior to me. And Jagadananda tells him what he thinks. But when Mahaprabhu, hears that Jagadananda Pandit has advised Sanatan Goswami, he's furious. He said, that boy told Sanatan Goswami, gave him some order, some advice. Well, we learn a few things from that. We understand from Mahaprabhu's position, but still, think of Sanatan Goswami. He's a senior, and he's asking the junior because he doesn't think of himself as being superior. You know, he's with Prabhu, with Mahaprabhu. So Srila Guru Maharaj would say, don't be overly confident in your own judgment of things. Consult senior, superior, reliable devotees. And then proceed. But it's funny, Sanatan Goswami told Mahaprabhu not to go to Vrindavan with so many people. But Mahaprabhu, he liked that. And he would have, oh, Sanatan Prabhu said, that's not the good way to go. Should go with a small group. So he went with two or three. But at the time, 100,000 people were following Mahaprabhu. Where he, because he's crying and Krishna praying, where his tears go, the ground is muddy. People are coming and digging that. And there's holes everywhere on the road as they're following Mahaprabhu. And madness, divine madness spread to 100,000 people losing their minds, inundated with Mahaprabhu's Krishna prema. Sanatan Goswami saying, it'll be better for Vrindavan, you and one or two assistants. I go. Mahaprabhu took his advice. Mahaprabhu is consulting with Advaita Acharya, with Sarup Damodar. How does Rupa know this? He's asking Sarup Damodar. Sarup Damodar saying, no, only you know and I know, so I didn't tell him. You, it must be your mercy. Very sweet way. But we're talking here, real heart, deep in the heart's core. And that's all these expressions recorded from the devotees, like Prabhupada Jivanamrita, but throughout the scripture. These are from the deep heart's core of Shuddha Bhaktas. To whatever degree any of those expressions resonate in our hearts, we're fortunate. And that's the idea, that by hearing such things, it awakens a sense of prospect in one's, the core of one's heart. Some prospect, some optimism that this sort of heartfelt expression is possible. Hare Krishna.